Is it possible to be Christian today? Last month, when I focused on four questions that we might put to a contemporary Paul, I did not then have in mind that over these subsequent weeks I'd address these questions, yet that's what's happened. These are questions that we need to reflect upon deeply as a church. For we don't have a Paul to whom we can look for definitive directions, nor would we want today to have such a director. The first of the four questions that I identified as what I would ask addressed the issues of the emerging global culture and asked if it was possible to be faithfully a Christian in this new cultural environment. This was first on my list of questions, and it was in that place because I think it's the most critical question facing the church in our day. In fact, it's the critical question facing not just Christianity, but every religion. This is essentially what the rise of religious extremism and violence is all about. And though it's Islam that's grabbing the headlines and is taking the dynamic to its furthest extreme, the issue being played out in the Islamic world is seen in every religion, including Christianity. The culture change that's taking place is global, and the religious threat is being experienced globally. If we find ourselves asking the question as to whether we can be faithful as Christians in this new mental environment in which we find ourselves, spare a thought for how anxious Islam feels. On the surface, at least, it may appear utterly impossible to sustain Islamic life in the context of the new global culture. Traditional Hindu and Buddhist cultures are just as deeply affected and threatened as are all the many indigenous religions. What humanity is experiencing today is a cultural shift on a scale and depth never before experienced in history. Culture is the way we humans adapt to our environment, physical, political, social. Culture is how we survive and thrive, or fail to achieve either. It's the sum of everything we do and think. Over the millennia, different parts of the world developed different cultures in response to different environmental challenges that required different cultural responses. And these differences, together with the relative isolation from other parts of the world, meant that cultures became broadly stable. Chinese culture has been with us for around 5,000 years. Western European culture for 1,000. Over time, these regional cultures rose and fell. Some left their mark on the future, while others disappeared without trace. In other words, cultures come and go, though many stay around for thousands of years. While they assist their societies to survive and thrive, they're strong. The tragedy that afflicts every culture is that it stays around long after it is effective and a real force for survival and strength. One thing every culture has in common is religion. Because religion, in whatever form it takes, is the reverse side of the coin to cultural strength and vitality. Religion never exists except as the reverse side of culture. Culture never exists in any enduring or stable form without religion as its reverse side. This is not the context to argue the sociology of this assertion. nor what it says about the nature of religion itself. What is happening in our time is that humanity as a whole, everywhere, is confronted with a common set of challenges that threaten us all, requiring a common global response if we're to survive. Such a global response requires a common culture, a globally embraced way of thinking, valuing, and acting. If we don't achieve this, humanity is finished, period, most probably extinct. So this is one driver of global culture. It's overriding imperative, and in the end, no one, no society, in any part of the world can exist outside this culture, because any rogue state or community threatens the whole. The other driver of global culture is what we might simply call data. All our thinking about life is based on the data we have to work with. When new data arises that challenges old ways of thinking and acting, the new data undermines the old and creates change. We then have to face the question as to whether we cling to the old and ignore the data, or face the fact that the data commands change, change that may completely overturn the old. The last century delivered to the world, the whole world, an avalanche of new data. And the new data is shaking the old cultures and the old religions to their core. The effect on religions has been like an earthquake, because all religions, Christianity included, dealt in absolutes that the new data called into question. We are living today in a period of massive transition happening on a global scale. The future of humanity rests entirely upon the emergence of this global culture, because it is the only hope we have of surviving the tsunami of threats bearing down on us. But this shift in culture is creating havoc everywhere, because it's challenging and changing the entire mental and spiritual foundations in every society, giving rise to intense emotional reactions, often exploding in violence. That's what we're seeing played out night after night on our TV screens. So it is that we, too, are confronted with the critical question: can we continue to be Christian in this new cultural environment? Many Christians are saying no. And in saying no, the majority are walking away totally from anything to do with Christianity, while many others are saying that they are compelled to live counterculture lives, rejecting the new culture and insisting that we can only be Christian in the context of the old culture. This is the essence of what's happening overtly in Islam and in all forms of Christian fundamentalism. The reasons aren't hard to find. The new culture has an intellectual core that makes traditional Islam and Christianity impossible. That intellectual core is that we know nothing absolutely and finally. We know nothing absolutely and finally. This is not some passing postmodern philosophical fad. It's the living heart of the new culture, inalienable from its being. This is the central challenge to Christianity, to Islam, and to all other religions from the past, whatever they are. No knowing is final and absolute and beyond question or change. Both classical Catholicism and its foundations in magisterium, and classical Protestantism with its foundation in sola scriptura, become unsustainable in this new culture. No value, no belief, no dogma, no narrative, however sacred and embodied in scripture, no practice or moral judgment is beyond question or abandonment. All knowing is provisional, ambiguous, and dynamically open to change. The other challenge that global culture poses to all religion is the centrality of adaptability. This is allied, of course, to the provisionality of knowing, but it's driven more directly by the need to change, to adapt to dramatically changing physical circumstances of our world. In half a century's time, whatever we do from now onwards, the physical environment of the planet is going to be radically different to what we know today. We're going to have to learn to live differently in every facet of life, or we die. Just as the intellectual core of the new culture lies in how we know, the entire outward forms of life, for everyone, everywhere, is now governed by adaptability. And that adaptability is without limit. Nothing is unchangeable. The challenge to all forms of traditional religion doesn't have to be spelled out. What we're seeing played out in the Islamic world is phosphorus being plunged into the water of the new culture. When we see the riots and acts of violence being carried out in response to images or questions about the Prophet Muhammad, this highlights the third way in which the new culture is challenging our old religious ways and thinking. Behind all effective religion lies narrative, but this is especially true of the tradition of Islam and Christianity that arose out of Hebrew roots. We tell a story, and our faith relates intimately to that story. Global culture does two things. First, it has called all our traditional narratives into question, both by relativizing them out of its new way of knowing, and second, because it brings data to bear on the old narratives that undermines their credibility. The new culture calls the whole Islamic narrative into question, which is why it's been defended so fiercely. For us, it's the entire fabric of the Christian narrative that's been challenged from creation through to consummation. Not one single part of the traditional Christian story remains unshaken by the new culture. What is happening also is that a new narrative is emerging, filling the vacuum, and this new narrative, if embraced, leaves no room for anything identifiably Christian. So we come to the core question. Is it possible for us to be Christian and also be citizens of global culture? And if classical Catholicism and classical Protestantism are unsustainable in the new culture, even if we say we can still be Christian, what form can our Christianity take? These are crucial questions for us. Questions that are certainly not going to be resolved in one sermon, perhaps not even in our lifetime. There are four ways we can respond to the question. We can say, no, we cannot remain Christian. In saying no, that may mean we walk away altogether from our Christian faith. And that's what the majority in our society is doing. Or in saying, no, we cannot remain Christian, we may say that we're going to dig in as counterculture, the pathway of sectarian life. Truth is truth, and there's no changing. The moral rules are laid down, and there's no changing. That's one option. A second is to compartmentalize. And this has become a very popular option. Relegating spirituality to the private and personal areas of life, while in every other respect living the new culture, public life, has no connection to anything religious. A third option is to bury our heads in the sand and go on doing our church thing as if nothing had changed in the world. Anglicans, Episcopalians are particularly adept at this. The fourth option is to recognize that God is in the change. God is the driver of the new cultural environment. And we embrace it as our new spiritual home, even if we realize that it changes everything. The answer to the question becomes, yes, we can be Christians in this new culture. Now, all I can do at this moment is leave you with these four options and the question, which is a question the entire church has to face, but each of us, in our own heart and mind, has to face it for ourselves. Whatever choice we make, individually or as a church, involves consequences. And these consequences are not only for ourselves, but also ultimately for the whole future of humanity. Can we be Christians in global culture? I know what my answer is. Where do you stand? In thinking about that, we may well reflect on today's lections from Isaiah, that's the so-called second Isaiah, Paul, and Mark. Each of these writings and their writers represented in their day a radical development of the tradition and a departure from the accepted norms. Each confronted a question not dissimilar to that which confronts us today. Think upon that.